Good work, everybody, and welcome to the Motzei Shabbos Shir for Parshas Miketz. We learned Parshas Miketz, of course, this morning, but tonight's Shir is not going to be Minyona de Sidra relating to Parshas Miketz, but rather Minyona de Yoma relating to a calendar matter. I titled the Shir, Why Should There Be a Fast Day on the Fifth of Teves? Now, tonight, Motzei Shabbos, and tomorrow Sunday, is, of course, the Fifth of Teves. That's why it's Minyona de Yoma. And the question is, what do you mean, why should there be a fast day on the fifth of Teves? I spoke about this a number of years ago, but I was asked to give this year again. So it's certainly timely today being the fifth of Teves. But if you ask the question, why should there be a fast day on the fifth of Teves, that presupposes the idea that there is an opinion that there is, in fact, a fast day on the fifth of Teves. And that's what I'd like to look into tonight. I'd like to look into tonight. Where does that come from? What's that about? What is Chamisha B'Teves? We've all heard of Asara B'Teves, which is the 10th of Teves, which this week falls this coming Friday. That's another shear we gave a couple of years ago, the unusual, somewhat rare occurrence of having a fast day on a Friday. We have that again this week with a dynasty on a Friday, a servant Tavis. But again, we're looking tonight at the Hamisha B'Tavis, the fifth of Tavis, which again is tonight and tomorrow. And the question is, why should there be a fast day on the fifth of Tavis? Who says there is a fast day on the fifth of Tavis? So actually, there's one prominent Tana that's quoted in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, who holds that, in fact, there's supposed to be a fast day tonight, or at least maybe not the 24-hour fast, but at least a daytime fast, tomorrow on Chamisha B'Teves. What happened? So our point of departure is a Pasuk in Sefer Zechariah and Treoser, Perek Ches, Pasuk Yud Tes, refers to the four fast days that we have in conjunction with the Churban Beis HaMikdosh. Yom Kippur is not part of the discussion here, because Yom Kippur is, of course, a fast in the Torah. It's a different type of fast altogether. It's not a Velos. Nothing to do with Korban, obviously. And the Tainus Esther was also not in the mix here. It's also a different fast. But it's talking about the four fast days that we have. And actually, the Pasuk presents in a positive way, referring in Parak Ches of Zechariah Pasuk Yates source. One, Komar Shem Tzvokos, Tzom Harvi, Vitzom HaChamishi, Vitzom HaShvi, Vitzom HaSiri. Four fast days. Yehla Beis Yehuda, L'Sosan, L'Simchol HaMadim, Tovim. Eventually, are going to be days of happiness and joy, and then Yom Tovim and so on. But for the time being, they're Tzomos, they're fast days. And the Torah mentions four of them by the month which they land. So Tzom Arvi, Arvi is the fourth month. That's Tammuz, right? We start with Nisan, so Nisan Yosef and Tammuz. That's what we call Shavuos B'Tammuz. Tzom HaChamishi, the fifth month is Av, so that's Tisha B'Av. Tzom HaShvi is the seventh month, again, start with Nisan, so Nisan Yosef and Tammuz, Av El Tishrei, it's Tishrei. And that's what we call Tzom Gedalia, the fast of Tzom HaShvi. And Tzom HaAsiri, as we'll see, that's probably referring to the 10th month. It is the 10th month, Teves. Asar B'Tavis, and eventually these days will be days of joy and gladness. Notice that that's about the only place in the Tanakh where the four fast days are mentioned, these four fast days in association with Avelos in connection with the Churban. Notice, however, that no actual dates, and the dates of the month are not mentioned, only mentions what month it is, right? Only mentions the month, but not the day of the month. That is an opinion, not for right now. I mean, Cheskinuch discusses that in a certain sense, perhaps the date of the actual date doesn't matter as long as you fast during that month. That's a discussion for another time. But again, we have these four fast days. So what exactly are they in terms of the dates? So if you take a look in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, source number two, we find the following. Okay, Tanya, Amar Reb Shimon, all right? Arba Advarim Hayar of Akiva Dorish, V'ani Ein Dorish Kamos. There are four things which we have that Rabbi Akiva Darshan one way, Rabbi Akiva learned one way, and I, Reb Shimon, don't agree. And as Rashi points out, there are three Arba Dvarim Halal of Zu Achas Mehen. We're only going to look at one of them here. The others are mentioned in Tosefta and Sefer and other places, but what the four arguments are, we're only interested in the one for right now. Okay, what is the argument about? So here he's going to first present the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Tzom Harvi. What is the Tzom Harvi that's referred to in that Pasuk of Zechariah? Says Reb Shimon again, quoting Rabbi Akiva first. Okay, Zeh Tisha B'Tammuz, Shabo Huvka Ir. That's a reference to the fast of the 9th of Tammuz, which is the day on which the city's walls were breached. And Emar, quotes a pasuk in Tanakh, which says, V'chamisho Salachodesh V'achzakar Ba'ir Maho, and so on. It mentions that it was the 9th day of the month, the B'sish Salachodesh, right? It was the 9th of that month, the month of Tammuz, V'chodesh Raviv, B'sish Salachodesh, that Batibo Kaha Ir. All right, so that's the fast of the 9th of Tammuz. Now, we don't fast on the 9th of Tammuz. We fast on the 17th of Tammuz. Again, that's not our discussion tonight. As some suggest, that a Pasuk was obviously talking about, since it's in Tanakh, was obviously talking about the first base of Mikdash, but the second base of Mikdash was 17th of Tammuz. Others point out even the second base of Mikdash, the first base of Mikdash was also the 17th of Tammuz. There was a mix-up with the day. It's not our topic now, but that's referring to the fast of Tammuz. Good. Tzom HaChamishi is at Tisha B'Av. Shabo Nisot Beis Elokeinu. Okay? Now, I'm sorry, I skipped on the war. Why is it called Tzom HaRevi? So I go back to the beginning of the third line of Tuva. Amai Karla Revi, Revi Lechadoshim. Why is it called Tzom HaRevi? Because it's the fourth month. And now Tisha B'Av, right? It's called Shmonisa Beislokenu. Amai Karla Chamishi, Chamishi Lechadoshim. Why is it called Tzom HaChamishi? Because it's the fifth, so the fifth of the month. Again, starting with Nisan. Tzom HaShavi, Ashavi Zesh Shlosha B'Tishrei. That's the fast on the third of Tishrei. Shabo Neraga Gedalia Ben Achikam. That's the day that Gedalia was assassinated. It says who killed him, a fellow by the name of Yishmael ben Nesanya, and we fast on that day also, right? It's Shkula Misa so Tzadikim, Yishevim Tzadikim, Elokeinu, and then Vamai Korle Shvi, Shvi Lechadoshim. Why is it called the fast of the 7th month? Because it's a seventh in the order of the months. Okay, it's called the fast of the 7th. And finally, Tzom HaSirin is what we're familiar with, and again, this coming Friday, Ze Asar B'Tevis, Shabo Somach Melech Babel Yerushalayim. That's the day the king of Babel laid the siege in Yerushalayim. Rashi says, second Rashi in 3 there in Rosh Hashanah and Chesed Beis, Somach Melech Babel Hiskil Latzur Alei. He began the siege on Yerushalayim on the 10th of Tevis, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk to back this up. Okay, Shenemar Vayhidvar Hashem Elai Bashana Chis Bachodesh Asir Basor Lachodesh Lemor Ben Adam Ksov Lecha Hashem Elam Azes Etim Azes Somach Melech Babel El Yerushalayim. Yechezkel, who was not there, but we'll get back to that shortly, was told by Kosh Baruch Hu, make note of this day, because it's the day the siege of Yerushalayim began. The siege, which ultimately, a couple of years later, resulted in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And why is it called Asiri? Asiri Lechadoshim. It's the 10th month, and that's why it's called Tzom HaAsiri. So there you have the four fast days. Tzom HaRevi is Shavuos V'Tammuz, Tzom HaMishi is Tisha B'Av, Tzom HaShvi'i is Tzom Gedalia, and Tzom HaAsiri is Asar B'Tevis. All of this is, in effect, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Okay, however, all right, that's good. Okay, we're okay with that. But now, Rabbi Shimon continues that in fact I hold differently, at least with regards to one of them. Ivani any Omer Kane. Four lines in the bottom of source 2. This is all in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Daf Yud Ches Amid. Ivani any Omer Kane. Ella, I believe Tzom HaAsiri ze Chamisha B'Teves. Remember, the original pasuk back in source 1 doesn't give you a calendar date; just tells you the month. So Rabbi Shimon says I hold that Tzom HaAsiri was Hamisha B'Tevis, which is tonight and tomorrow, right? At the 5th of Tevis, not Asar B'Tevis. What in the world happened on Hamisha B'Tevis? So we should make a fast Asar B'Tevis. We understand. We saw the puzzling. That was the day that the siege began. Okay. But what happened on the 5th of Tevis? Shebo Bos Shmuel Agolo Shehukso Ir. That's when the Jews living in exile in Bavel got word that the city had fallen a few months earlier on Tishba. A couple of months later, let's remember, in the olden days, you know, there were no tweets and emails and, you know, messages and everything else. Word traveled very slowly, especially during wartime. People didn't travel. So the city, Yerushalayim, was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, right? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The city fell on Tisha B'Av. It took a couple of months for the word to get to the Jews in Bavel that had happened. There was no instant news, obviously. So it says, the Pasuk in Yechezkel says, Shenemar, Vayhi b'shteyasrei shana b'asiri b'chamisha l'chodesh, 10th month, the 5th of the month, b'chamisha l'chodesh, l'galu seina, since we're in exile and so on. Bo Eli ha-palit, is Yechezkel Navi talking, Bo Eli ha-palit, Mirushalayim, lemor, huksa'ir, a certain refugee, a certain escapee, arrived from Yerushalayim and informed Yechezkel that the city had fallen. So that's what happened on the 5th of Tevis. For Asu Yom Shmua Ki Yom Sreifa. That's when the Jews of Babel found out the horrible news that the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed, and they made that day like as if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in that day. And then Rabbi Shimon adds, V'nirin Dvorai Midvorav. My opinion, I think, is stronger than Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Okay, obviously thinks his opinion is right. Why? Shani Omer Al Rishon Rishon Al Achron Achron. Because according to my way, the Pasuk records the events in the chronological order. You see, Tzom HaRevi is Shavuos V'Tammuz when the walls were breached. Tzom HaChamishi, the next thing is Tisha B'Av, right? That's when the Beis HaMikdash fell. A couple months later was the assassination of Gedalia, Tzom HaShvi, and a couple months after that, right, it's all in order. Tzom HaAsiri, the 5th of Tevis, that's Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Akiva, the last thing mentioned in the Pasuk is the first event, right? The first of the events is the last thing mentioned in the Pasuk. V'hu Omer, Arishon Achron, V'Achron Rishon, his order is messed up. Ella rather, Shehu Mona L'Seder Chadoshim. Obviously, it's not a Kashan of Akiva. He obviously follows the order of the month. He says the Pasuk simply records things based on the order of the month, not the order of the chronological order of the events. Okay, Vani Mona L'Seder Peronios. I follow the order of the events. So that's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. So there we see that according to Rabbi Shimon, the fast of Teves is not this coming Friday, Asar B'Teves, but tomorrow, the 5th of Teves, Chamisha B'Teves, because that's the day that the people in Bavel received word that the Beis HaMikdash had fallen. So that requires a little bit more understanding, okay? And I'd like to share with you, it's not my Shtickle Torah, an uncle of my wife, Rabbi Shmayo Shulman, Zichrono Lebracha, developed this in a sefer called Shomer Pesach, a big Talmud Chacham, okay, from Queens. So I'd like to share his thoughts, just understanding what this is all about. But first, a little bit of a historical background. Okay, you can look, I quoted the rest of the Rashi's in Rosh Hashanah Chesed. Basically, we explained it. Okay, you know, again, Rabbi Shimon feels that my way, the order is following the chronology of the events. Which of us of the Talmud, the breaching of the walls first, then Tisha B'Av, right, the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, then some Gedalia, the assassination of Gedalia, and then the news, the reaching Bavel, that the city had been destroyed. According to Rekiva, you have to follow, it follows the order of the month. Okay, look at the last Rashi, right? El Shu Mono Seder Chadoshim, Omer Shalo Hitpir HaMikra, Ela Al Seder Chadoshim. The Pasuk simply follows the order of the month. So that's why it has, you know, 4, 5, 7, and 10, even though 10, right, the fast of the 10th, is the first of the events, the breaching of the, I'm sorry, the laying of the siege. Okay. That is the machlokas of Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. So first, we need a little bit of historical background. What do you mean Yechezkel was in Bavel? Okay, what's going on here? So we know, and we'll see the psukim. You look in Melachim Bey's Perek Chav Dalet, source 4. A bunch of psukim I quoted here. We'll look at some of them now. The city was besieged. We're talking now 11 years before the Churban. So it says, Ba'esei Alu Avdei Nuchadnetzo Melech Bavel Yushalayim. And they came to Yerushalayim. And at that time, the king was known as Yehoyachin, sometimes called Yechonya. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay, they came out and so on and so forth with, to fight and whatever else. And they took the invading army, the Babylonians took. Okay, he took Yehoyachin, Yechonya away. And not only that, but Yud Gimel. Many treasures from the Beis HaMikdash and treasures from the king's palace were all taken away. And Pasuk Yud Dalet, it's the key Pasuk for us now, in Melachim Bey's Parakov Dalet, so it's 4. The Higlas Kol Yerushalayim, he took many of the people in Yerushalayim, Veskol Asorim, all the officers, Veskol Giborei HaChayil, okay, and the warriors, you know, the upper class, the leader, we might call the intelligentsia, the aristocracy, okay, it tells you how many people. Which means that 11 years before the Churban, the upper class, the leaders of Yerushalayim, were already taken into captivity, brought to Bavel. Who was left? Yeah, the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, but who was left behind? Dalas Amaret, the poor people, the lower class people, they were not taken away. Okay, and Pasuk Tezvav there, Vayogel es Yoyachin Bavela. Right, they took Yochin and his mother and other family, took them all to Bavel, and to Zion was called Anche Achayel, and so on. And at that point, Pasuk Yud Zion, Vayamlech Melech Bavel as Matanya Dodo Tachto Vayasev Shmo Tzidkio, they appointed Matanyahu to be the king, otherwise known as Tzidkio, basically a puppet ruler was installed by Melech Bavel, okay, and he ruled for the next 11 years. The Tzidkio says in Pasuk Yud Ches, Achasus Veishonah Melech Yerushalayim. Okay, so that is the important background information that the king, Yehoyachin, also called Yechonya, together with a lot of Jews from Yerushalayim, were already exiled into Babel 11 years prior to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, just to look at source number 5 is a more familiar pasuk to us than maybe what's there in Melachim Beis, Perek Abdalad, in Megillas Esther, Perek Beis, pasuk, hey, when we're introduced to Mordechai, Ish Yehudi, Ahayah, B'Shushan Abira, Ushmo Mordechai ben Yor ben Shimon Kish Ishamini, Pasuk Vav, we read this Pasuk in the Eicha Trop, we lay in Megillah Sester on Purim, Asher Hagla Am Yerushalayim, right? Asher Hagla Am Yerushalayim, Imagol Asher Hagla Sam Yechonim El Achuda. Who is this Mordechai? He was exiled from Yerushalayim with the Golos of Yechonim El Achuda, Yechonim Yehoyachin, Asher Hegon Vuchadnetzah Melech Bavel. Now, does it mean Mordechai, you know, in the previous Pasuk listed a lot of names? Mordechai ben Yoram ben Shimi, so who, ben Kish, right? Who was the one whose Hegel was Mordechai himself or his father, whatever, but we don't know those details now. The bottom line is, again, there were Jews who were exiled prior to the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, okay? Now, you have it in you look at source number four, the Pasuk refers to among the people of the upper class, the intelligentsia, the aristocracy, exiled, was, it says, V'chol ha-chorosh v'ha-masgir. See that in Pasuk Yud Dalet, Perek Beis of Malach, I'm sorry, what does that mean? So there's a Gemara in Gittin on Daf Pei Ches of Aleph, source number 6, okay, where the Gemara says the following: Amar Chistam Amar Ukwa, Amar Chistam Amar Yuriya, Darsh Marema, Ma'idik Si, Ba'ishka Shem Alarav, Ba'ibel, Pasuk, again, the source of Pasuk doesn't matter for us right now, okay, because Baruch Hu did a favor. He hastened the Golas. The Pasuk at the beginning of the year, he hastened the Golas, that's the Rashi, by my hair. He hastened the Golos. What does that mean? He brought many people into exile before the Churban. But look at the second line there of source number six in Gittin Peches and Alav. Ela Tzedaka Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu in Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu did us a favor. Shehigla Golos Tzidkiyahu Vadayin Golos Yechonya Kayemes. Okay. By the time the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, 11 years later, with Tzidkiyahu as the king, and those Jews, the remaining Jews, were taken to exile in Bavel, okay, the people of Yechonya's Golos would come 11 years ago, were still there. And that's what it means, V'charosh Amaska. Who's that? Charosh. Shebishah Sheposkin Nasu Akol Kharoshin. Refers to Talmidei Chachamim. Talmidei Chachamim. When they speak, everyone else is like, can't say anything, can't speak. Okay, because the Talmidei Chachamim. Same thing with Masker. Kevin Shesogren Shuv and Apostle. When they close up a discussion, you can't reopen it. And how many were there? 1,000 of those and so on. You look in the Rashi's there. Rashi says, Golos Yechonya. Look at the third Rashi, right? Hu Yehoyachin, as we mentioned. Kodmo Legolos Tzidkiyo Achasas Reishona. He was exiled 11 years before Tzidkiyo, who was exiled after the Churban. Gezui Tztoka. Shemir Vehechri Beiso Kedei Lahaglos Dorsal Tzidkiyo. Lebova Ba'od Shechach Megolos Yechonya Kayamin. Shel Yelamdu Torah Le'elo HaGolem Achri. What does it mean? It means when the remaining Jews were exiled from Yerushalayim after the Churban of the Bayis, they came to Bovel. There was already a Jewish community set up there. You already had Talmidei Chachamim, you had yeshivas, you had people who could teach Torah. Okay, I mean, they weren't going to be lost to Judaism. By the time these poor lower class people, uneducated people and so on came to Bovel, there was already an infrastructure of a Jewish community. So you had basically, you had shuls, you had a mikveh, you had a pizza shop, I don't know, whatever you think is necessary for a Jewish community, right? You already had the infrastructure, kosher food, whatever. You know, you had things that were necessary. That was a chesed that a Kadosh Baruch Hu did. Now, when these Jews arrived, the remainder of the Jews arrived after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they were ready with the upper class, the Talmidei Chachamim and so on. That's the Charosh HaMasker, refers to Talmidei Chachamim. They were there, as Rashi says, Yelamdu Torah, okay? Lefisherov Chachmei Torah Golem Yechonya. Most of the Chachmei Torah were taken away early, but that was a good thing in a way because they set up the Torah community, and now we're already a Jewish in a Torah community infrastructure in Bavel. So that's what happened in terms of that. Now, among those Jews who were exiled, okay, was Yechezkel Hanavi. That's why he was in Bavel. Yechezkel was alive when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, but he wasn't there. Yirmiyahu Hanavi was a Navi who witnessed the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, right? Yirmiyahu HaNavi wrote Megillas Eicha. He was there, okay? But Yechezkel, who was prophesied at that time, was no longer there. He'd been taken away already 11 years earlier, okay? Now we look in Perek Chof Hei of Melachim Beis, and that's the continuation. We just read more Perek Chof Dalet. So here's where it says in Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi Bashana Hachiyas, Bachodesh Asiri Be'asar Lachodesh, the 10th month, Teves, the 10th of the month, we call it Asar B'Teves, right? He built, he started a siege, and he continued the siege for several months, and so on and so forth. And then it mentions until the ninth day of the fifth month, right? It says, I'm sorry, of the fourth month, actually, right? That's when the walls were breached and so on. And if you look, skip down to Pasuk Ches, Uva Chodesh HaChamishi, in the fifth month, that's we call Av, right? And then Nisan Ir Sivan Tammuz Av, B'Shiva LaChodesh, in the seventh of the month, Hishnas Tras Veishal Melech Nebuchadnezzar Bava, Boa Nebuzrad and Rabbi Tachim, Avir Melech Bava Yushalayim, and Pasuk Ches, Vayisrof Es Beis Hashem. He burnt down the Beis HaMikdash, okay, on the ninth of Av, and so on and so forth. So those are the Psukim that end Nevi'im Rishonim. But again, Yechezkel wasn't there. Yechezkel was in Bavel. As I said, the Jews in Bavel, without email and, you know, instant information and social media, whatever else, the people in Bavel didn't know about it. They weren't there. They didn't know. And again, it was wartime. People didn't travel. Okay, so now we come to the key Pasuk Ras in Perek Lamed Gimel of Yechezkel, Pasuk Chaval of 9, Vahi Bashtesre Shana, Basiri, on the 10th month, Tevis, Bachamisha Lechodesh, right, the 5th of the month, boy, Laya Polit Mishalayim, Lemor Huksa'ir. Okay, and then we finally got him word that the city had fallen. So that day, the fifth day of Teves, Chamish of Teves, which is tomorrow, that day was the Jews of Bavel got word that the city had been destroyed, and Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed. So according to Reb Shimon, back in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Yud Ches Beis, according to Reb Shimon, Tzom HaAsiri marks the day, not the 10th of Teves when the siege started, but the 5th of Teves when the majority of the Jews, certainly the upper class of the Jews, and Talmidei Chachamim, and Yechezkel Navi, and so on, that's when they found out the Yerushalayim had been destroyed. Okay, that's where the 5th of Teves. Okay, The problem is, I understand that year. I understand that year when they got that word, okay, when they found out that, you know, on the 5th of Tevis, they got this escapee, this refugee from Eretz Yisrael, landed in, you know, arrived in Babel and came to Yechezkel and told them what happened a couple months ago on Tisha B'Av. I understand why there was great tragedy that year. But why be Koveya a fast for all time on that day? You know, Lamaisa, that's not when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Right, that's when they found out about it. Okay, so when they found out, Taka, they were very sad and they had a public fast day and so on. Why be koveya for all time on that day? You know, Moshalom Ola Dovredomer, Rachmana Tanah, I guess, hard to imagine today. But the Gemara and the Pesuk, the Shulchan Aruch talks about it. Let's say somebody has a relative that dies and you don't hear about it. You don't hear about it till 3 months later, whatever, finally get a word where the relative died. Again, it's not nogeid as a general rule in today's society with instant information and so on, communication. But at one time, so that's called the Shmua Rechoka. When you hear in Hilchas Avelos, when you hear quite a while later, so what do? So you kind of observe that day when you hear the news, like Shiva, they have a mini Shiva, so to speak. But it doesn't mean you observe the Yartzeit on that day from then on. Someone comes and tells you, you know, that 3 months ago, God forbid, a relative died. Okay, so that day when you hear the Shmuel, and you hear the news, that's a sad day. But you don't have to observe now, have to observe that day every year as the Yartzeit. That's not the day the person died. The day the person dies, whenever the Yartzeit was, so you'll observe it. Just that day, so we can, again, just as the mushel. So the question here is, I understand why Yechezkel and then the Talmid Chacham and Bavel would be Koveya, a fast day, when they got that terrible news on that day, the 5th of Tevis that year. But why be Koveya? Why should that be the Tzom HaAsiri? What does Reb Shimon mean? Reb Shimon says, for all time, we're supposed to fast, not on Asar B'Tevis, but on Chamisha B'Tevis, okay, that's tomorrow, we should be fasting because that's the day the Jews of Babel got the news. Why be Koveya that for all time? That was just when they heard about it. They heard about it later on. Okay, so that first year, they'll mark as a sad day, but not that it has to be the anniversary of that day marked. That's not the day. Nothing happened. Actually, nothing happened that day. So it obviously requires a little bit more understanding. Okay? Yeah. So, again, as I mentioned, my wife's uncle, Shmuel Shulman, Zichron Levracha, in the Sefer Gosh Shomer Pesach, develops the following thought. So, come back to the answer shortly. We're first going to take a little bit of a trip through some other sources. There is a Mishnah in Maseches Menachos, Daf Kuf Amud Beis. Menachos Kuf Amud Beis, I printed here in Source 10. Talking about the Lechem Aponim. So we know the Lechem Aponim was generally set up and baked, you know, on Shabbos, and then the following Shabbos, they would take it off, and that Mishmar, those Kohanim that were there would get it, and they put the new one on, and so on. So the Mishnah says as follows, Lechem, we don't need to know all the details of the story, but Lechem Aponim, Nechal, Ein Pachos, Mitisha, V'Loyosa, L'Acharasar. Okay? The Lechem Aponim would be eaten no less than 9 days after it was baked, and no more than 11. Heitzad. Nefa, B'Erev Shabbos. We baked on Erev Shabbos. Okay? B'Nechal, B'Shabbos, L'Tisha. And it would be eaten the following Shabbos, which is 9th day, including the day of the baking. Okay, you don't bake on Shabbos, obviously, so we'd bake it on Friday. We'd bake the Lechem Aponim on Friday. And then the following Shabbos, which is the 9th day, counting the day of the actual baking, that's under normal circumstance. You'd eat the bread, and then it was a nace, and stayed fresh and all that. Okay. But what if Chal Yontif Leos Erev Shabbos? What if Friday was Yontif? Okay? We wouldn't bake it on Friday Yontif because, again, you're only allowed to bake for needs of Yontif. So then, they'd have to bake it the day before, Erev Yontif. So then, Nechal Lasara, then he would eat it on a 10th day because they'd bake it on Thursday, Erev Yontif, because he couldn't bake it on Friday. Friday was Yontif. Okay, you're not supposed to bake or cook on Yontif other than for that day of Yontif itself. So therefore, in such a situation, they would bake the Lechem upon him on Thursday, in which case it would be eaten the following Shabbos on day 10. Okay, good. And then, what if Shnei Yomim Tovim was Rosh Hashanah? It was Rosh Hashanah. They would have 2 days, Thursday and Friday was Rosh Hashanah. Then it would Nechal HaCharasah. They would have to bake it on Wednesday. It would be 11. Because Eino Docha, Lo Asa Shabbos, Lo Asa Yontif. Because the baking was not Docha Shabbos Yontif. That's the Mishnah in Maseches Menachos. Okay? So Rashi explains there, Menachos Kufim Beis 11, Letisha means the Shabbos year, the following week, and so on. Or La'asor, because it was baked on Thursday. Rashi spells it out. But look at the next Rashi, top of the next page. Shnei Yomim Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah. Well, right, of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Thursday and Friday. Kodim L'Shabbos, before Shabbos, Thursday and Friday. Nefa Ba'arba. Right? So he says, so 1 second. Rashi's bothered a little bit. If that's the case, if Thursday and Friday, Rosh Hashanah, so the following Shabbos, which is true, it's day 11, but the following Shabbos is Yom Kippur. Right? So I had to eat it. Right? We have to eat it on 12 days later. Right? Rashi says, what do you mean? Okay. Yikash Yud Bezin, the Ha'enu Chelos Ad Motzei Shabbos, the Osa Shabbos of Yom Kippurim. because calendarically, if Thursday and Friday is Rosh Hashanah, then the Shabbos after that, the week later, is Yom Kippur. So how'd they eat on the 12th day? Okay, on the 11th day, right? It should be the 12th day. So he says, Halo, Kasha, Delinya, Achilas, Kodshim, Laila, Holech, Achar Hayom. Okay? Because for Kodshim, you're right, they would eat it. It would be Motzai Yom Kippur. But it's still called the 11th. So for Kodshim purposes, the night follows the day. Usually, day follows the night. By here, by Voka, Shabbos begins Friday night, etc. But not for this. Okay? All right. Anyway, that's the, that is the Gemara. Okay. Now, the question is, one second. Why did they give the example of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? One of the first 2 days of Pesach, first 2 days of Sukkot, 2 days of Shavuot. Doesn't give that. So hold that in the back of your head. The Rambam, Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, Perek, Hey, Halacha Zayin, Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah, Bizman Shehu Kovan Al Ariyah, Hayu Rov B'nei Eretz Yisrael, Osin Osa, Osa, Shnei Yomim Tov Misafik. Because Rosh Hashanah is the one Yontif, it's true to this day, where even in Eretz Yisrael, there are 2 days. But let's remember, with this mission is talking about the Lechem Aponim, right, in the Beis Hamikdash. So that's why they didn't mention 2 days of Pesach, Thursday and Friday. That didn't happen, right? The only time you didn't have 2 days, the first 2 days of Pesach being Yontif in Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, right? We'll get to that point in a moment. But Rosh Hashanah, when they were Kovei Aliyah, even most Eretz Yisrael people kept 2 days because they weren't sure and so on, because the Shluchim didn't go out. And Halacha Ches, the Rambam writes, Hey, Halacha Ches 12, V'lo'od al-afil b'Yushalayim atzmo, even in Yushalayim. They weren't sure. Some people may remember the sugya from Rosh Hashanah. Even in Yushalayim itself, where the Mokom Beis Din, that's where the Beis Din was, Rambam Rabbos, they also many times had observed 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in case the Edim came late. They would not accept the Edim after a certain hour. They would be both days, Osa Yom Kodesh L'mocha Kodesh. And you look through the Rashi. Okay. The bottom line, the Rambam tells us that Rosh Hashanah, there were occasions, even in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, they Taka had 2 days. So therefore, it could have the situation that the Mishnah, Menachos Av Kuf mentions, Thursday and Friday were both Rosh Hashanah. Okay, and that's why the Gemara doesn't give the example, the Yontif of Pesach was 2 days. That didn't happen in Yerushalayim. But 2 days of Rosh Hashanah did happen. Okay, so the Mishnah, obviously, Menachos, is obviously we're talking about the Lechem Aponim, okay, was obviously talking about Bisman Abayas. So then you still could have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. You would never have 2 days of any other Yontif. And that's why they pick Rosh Hashanah as the example. Okay, so far, so good. Now, what's interesting is the same Gemara appears in Psochem, Mem Vav and Beis, going over to Mem Zayin and Aleph, source 13. Eisa Lechem Aponim, quotes the whole story. Nechala Tisha Asora, okay, tells you the whole story of how many days after the baking of Lechem Aponim could be, nevertheless, a 9, never more than 11, and so on. And there it says specifically, you know, as well, if you should ain docha, the baking is docha lo Shabbos, lo Yontif, okay, fine, okay. But here we find a very fascinating comment made by Rashi in Psochem, Mem Zayin and Aleph, source 15. Okay, first he tells you the whole story about the Lechem Aponim. We discussed that already. Okay, look at the Rashi. Shnei Yomim Shor Shoshana. Right, Cholu B'Chamish V'Shishi. 2 days, Rosh Hashanah, Thursday and Friday. The Edom came late, like we explained. Right, even Yerushalayim, sometimes they had to keep 2 days, etc., like we mentioned. Okay, then Rashi adds now, which he didn't say over there in Menachos. He says it here in Pesachim, where the same mission is quoted. Pesachim Mem Zayin Aleph. Okay, towards the end of that Rashi, Shnei Yomim Shor Shoshana, 15, he writes, he tells you why, about the Yom Kippur problem, we mentioned already. Then he writes, Ushnei Yomim Tovim Shorosh Hashanah Dafka Nakat. That's why the Mishnah, there in Menachos Daf Kuf, and quoted here in Pesachim Daf Mem Zayin, says Dafka 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Now look carefully at the words of Rashi. The Bizman Lechem Aponim, Lo Hayu Shnei Yomim Tovim Shor Goyus. When the Lechem Aponim was in effect, in the Beis HaMikdash, there weren't 2 days of Yontif, any other Yontif in Eretz Yisrael. So that's Rashi. So if you think about it for a moment, that's a little bit of a strange language, okay? And the Tzlach is sensitive to it. The Tzlach there in Pesachim, Mem Zanav Alav, Divmaskel Bem, Sadibur Shnei Yom, Rosh Hashanah, says Dvarim Tamuim. What do you mean, in the days of Lechem Aponim? Meaning, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, you never had 2 days of any other Yontif in Eretz Yisrael. So yes, the Tzlach, and today we do? But that's not a din in the Beis HaMikdash. Today, there's still no 2 days of Pesach, you know, 2 days of Yontif. I mean, it's Pesach. You know, it's still only Rosh Hashanah. What does Rashi mean when he says, the Bizman Lechem Aponim, as if it had something to do with the Beis HaMikdash, that the days of the Beis HaMikdash, I never had 2 days of any other Yontif. Okay? There were never 2 days of Yontif at the beginning of Pesach or Sukkot, 2 days. It should never happen. It doesn't happen today either, even there's no Lechem Aponim. Such a Tumana Lechem Aponim. Look at it, Tzlach. Dvarim Tamuim. The my ear bisman lechem upon him. The auto bisman say yesh b'Yerushalayim shnei yomim tovim. Really, there are 2 days yontif today. There's no lechem upon him. There's no Beis HaMikdash, and there are two. Of course not. Okay, chutz mishnei yom shorosh Hashanah. He lives in a kasha. doesn't understand Rashi's language. You're being medayik and Rashi. It's a little funny because Rashi makes it seem like, well, as long as the Beis HaMikdash was standing, then you never had 2 days of any other yontu shein shel goyos. So tzaches, and today we do? No, we don't have it today either. It's not a din in the lechem upon it. Now, it's not necessarily a bomb kasha from here, because I think you can answer that in Hanami, but Rashi, we're talking about the lechem upon him. Right? That was the topic. Rashi didn't mean, oh, it's dafka when the lechem upon him was standing, the lechem upon him was operative, that you didn't have 2 days, but now we do. Of course, we don't now either. But since they were talking about the lechem upon him, so he said, when the lechem upon him was in effect, you never had it. Doesn't mean only when the lechem upon him was in effect. Right? The sugi was about the lechem upon him. So Rashi writes, when they had the lechem upon him, you never had 2 days of any yontiv other than Rosh Hashanah. That's true. That's true. Okay, didn't mean that it's only, doesn't mean other times we do. He just was talking about the lechem upon him. That you could say. However, there's another Rashi. Okay, that in Sukkah, Mem Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah in Sukkah talks about the different mitzvahs, the beginning of the parak called Lulavar Rava, the fourth parak of Sukkah. Okay, it says, in 17 is the beginning. Okay, it says over there, Mishnah says, Lulavar Rava, Shisha Veshiva, all the different mitzvahs of Sukkahs, how many days of the week of Sukkahs they apply. So Lulav and Arava, we'll focus on Lulav now, was either 6 days or 7 days. All 7 days or only 6 days. Okay? And again, I printed the Rashi. You don't have to go through everything here, but you look in the Rashi in 18, Sukkah, Membeis, Membeis. Okay? Lulav and Arava, the Beis HaMikdash, you would have the Beis HaMikdash all 7 days. Okay? But not, but sometimes, but it depends when, how you, when Yontif landed up vis-a-vis Shabbos. So if as Rashi says, Pa'amim Shadokim B'Shabbos Ain Kol Shiva, Pa'am Shain Dokim Avalu Shishi Yomim. Okay, so our purpose is now, if the first day was of Yontif, of Sukkot, was Shabbos, then they would take the lulav even on Shabbos. But if another day was Shabbos, they wouldn't take it on Shabbos. Then that's what I mean, six or seven. Again, we don't need those details. It says, halal and simcha, halal and simcha, that's all 8 days. Nisuch HaMayim is 7 days. The cholil, the simcha space and shoeva, right, with the flutes and the instruments, that was either five or six, depending on the Yontif and Shabbos, because it wasn't Dochi, the Yontif or Shabbos. So Yontif and Shabbos coincided, they only missed 1 day. Right, only miss 1 day of Simchas Beis Shoeva. If Yontif and Shabbos coincide, let's say again, for Yontif was the first day of Sukkot was Shabbos, so you would have the Simchas Beis Shoeva the next 6 days. If the first day of Yontif was Yontif, or the weekday, and then Shabbos a couple days later, then you'd have minus 2 days. You'd have Yontif, you'd have Simchas Beis Shoeva, and the whatever day, you know, and Shabbos you didn't have it. So, all right, that's the Mishnah. Anyway, so you can do all the cheshbonos yourself. If you take a look at the last Rashi, Hecholil, last Rashi in 18, Mem Beis Meis Hecholil. Simchas Beis HaShoeva was Smeichem B'Chag. They would celebrate that on Gansel Meisel with flutes and harps. There's a whole story of dancing. Many times by the Chassidim today, they have Simchas Beis HaShoeva over the yeshivas, dancing and singing. Beautiful. Okay. So look at Rashi, the end of that Rashi. Okay. The end of that Rashi, Maschal Cholil in Sukkah Mem Beis when he's 18. Says Rashi, Dibizman Mikdosh Ein Osim Yomtav Sheni. Okay. In the days of the Beis HaMikdosh, they didn't never had Yomtav Sheni in Eretz Yisrael. It's the same kasha, the tzlach. I mean, there's no tzlach in Sukkah, but tzlach, what do you mean, bizmana mikdosh, einos, yom tov sheni? It's true today also. Even in the absence of Beis HaMikdash, there's no yom tov sheni. And here, there, it's a little harder to say, and to give the same thing I was talking about the lechem upon it. Here, he makes a blanket statement. The bizman mikdosh, einos, yom tov sheni. That's like he said in Psochem, about the lechem upon him. But it's the same kasha. What do you mean, bizman mikdosh, einos, yom tov sheni? She just said, in Eretz Yisrael, there's no yom tov sheni, other than Rosh Hashanah. There's no yom tov sheni. Why do you say the Bizman Mikdosh? So this is the Kasha. Okay, the Tzlach asked it over there. And I don't think he quoted the Gemara in Sukkah, but it's the same Kasha. What is Rashi harping? Well, when there's a Beis HaMikdosh, when there's a Lechem upon him, you never had. Okay, so, yeah. So take a look at the 19, Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. That's it points us in the direction. Chelek Yoredeus in Reish Nun Beis. Tells the story, 19. He says, Nehira Karavina Tali, when I was a young man, I was a kid. But Avri Derech Kila Kadosha Prague, I traveled through Prague, because I'm sober writing, okay? And Zochisi Liros Pnei Hagon Tzlach. And I had the privilege to meet the Tzlach. Tzlach was the name of Recheska Levi of Prague. It was the Note of Yehuda. Tzlach, the same thing. Also, Dogon Revolver and the Shulchan Aruch. Those are three major works, among others. But anyway, so he was older than Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer had high regard for him. He was older than him, and Chasam Sofer traveled through Prague, and he had the privilege to meet the Tzlach, the Note of Yehuda. Okay, but Martilo, and I suggested to him, Masha Tomo Besifro, his kasha that we saw back in the Tzlach back in source, where was it again? Source 16, Tzlach, the Tzlach and Psoch, and Mem Zaman Aleph. I suggested a teret to him, to his kasha, says the Chasam Sofer. That, well, what do you ask? He said, Abu Shalim, I feel it was Manazelek of Beijam Tom Shal Golios. My ear is man lechem upon him. Why did the Rashi make it sound like, oh, when there's a lechem upon him, when there's a mikdash, then there's no 2 days. Even today, we don't have it. But Marty Lowe, he said, I tell you, it could happen. It could happen. Why? It could happen nowadays at 2 days in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Amarti lo, mishkachas lo, sherov chachmi Yisrael, b'chutz laretz, if most of the Talmidei Chachamim live in chutz laretz, lo, hinichu kemos in Eretz Yisrael, there's nobody on their par, on their level in Eretz Yisrael, da'oz me'abrim shana v'kovim chadashim b'chutz laretz. Then the function of Bezin to, you know, to be mekadosh l'chodesh, to make lipis and so on, the function of the Bezin shifted to chutz laretz where the Talmidei Chachamim were. Kimavur b'gemara samach gimel sofa, we'll see in a second in the Gemara. Okay, and the Rambam paskins that way. So he says, if so, if there were situations, says the Chassam Sofer, where there would be Mekadosh and Chodesh in Chutz Laretz, because that's where the Talmidei Chachamim were, and not in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, says the Chassam Sofer. So then it could be im yerachokim al kain yasu shom shnei yom misofek v'yagam Eretz Yisrael beizom tom shogolias. It could happen that they were kovei the Chodesh in Chutz Laretz. They would have to send messengers back to Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't get there. They'd have to keep 2 days. So it could happen, says the Chassam Sofer. That's what I mean. But he said that can't happen bizman lechem upon him. It can't happen when the Beis Hamikdash is standing, because oz laolam bezin agarob Yerushalayim samoch lemikdash. Then it didn't matter if you had more Talmidei Chacham in Chutz Laretz. It was still the purview of the Sanhedrin, whose chambers were in the Mikdash. The Mikdash was standing samoch lemikdash. Okay, so then it couldn't happen. That's why Rashi stresses, Bizman lechem upon him, it could never happen that it had 2 days in Eretz Yisrael. Bizman amikdosh, like he said in Sukkah, could never happen in 2 days. But nowadays it can, it doesn't. But nowadays, theoretically, he says it's some so for it could. Okay, but not then. But he says, and that's what we'll see the Gemara Brachos in a second. You look at the end of the Chassam Sofer, Yoshu Dvorai Beinei Hagonzal. You like my pshat. He liked my pshat. Va'omar kalus kalus moshen kili. Praised it. He liked my pshat. That's the answer, says the Chassam Sofer. That theoretically it could happen. Okay, that in Chutz Laretz there would be me'aber the chodesh. If most of the Talmidei Chachamim lived there, they'd be mekadosh the chodesh in Chutz Laretz, and they'd have to send word to Eretz Yisrael, and the people in Eretz Yisrael would have to keep 2 days. Now they don't have to do it anymore because they didn't establish minhag of Hashem B'Yadayim. It didn't happen frequently. Okay, but bottom line, theoretically, it could happen in Eretz Yisrael, but during the time of the Lechem upon him, if the Mikdash was standing, it could not happen, because then it wouldn't matter where the Talmidei Chachamim were. And all this emerged from a Gemara in Brachas, Samach Gimel Av Gohoda, Samach Gimel Beis, 20. Omer of Safra, okay? Rabbi Avoh, I'm sorry. Kishayard Chanina ben Achim Yeshua Gola, this certain Rabbi Chanina, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, went into exile. He was a Gola Dor. Take, he went ahead and he was Kovei the Chodesh and Chutzot. He was the Gola Dor, okay? But then, Shogurach of Shnei Tamil Chachamim, Yosef and Keeper of Benin Benosh of Yisrael ben Kutal, they sent two Tamil Chachamim from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. And at first, he was very happy to see them when they came. Why you come? He said, "Lumo Torah." Hichris on the third line. Aleim Anash Anashim Halalu Gadol Adore Gadol Adore Hema Avoseinu Shimshuvis Avoseim Shimshuvis Hamikdash. Hananya Rabbi Chanina Ben Achir Yeshua introduced them to other people, the great Talmud Chachamim, and their ancestors served in the Beis Hamikdash and so on. And he explains a little bit about that and so on. Wonderful people. But when this Rabbi Yeshua Chanina would paskin certain things, these guys always argued, right? Whenever they said one thing, they said the opposite. He said Osir, he said Mutta, they said Mutta. He said the Tar, he said Tommy. They always argued. And so he got annoyed with them. He said, well, who are these guys coming in to argue? What are you doing? Why are you starting up with me? I'm the posek here. Why are you arguing with everything I say? So he says, Omrulo, four lines in the bottom, for that first paragraph, this is Sama Gimel Alf and Brachas. Omrulo, we're annoyed with you, okay? Because you're Koveya Kadosh and Chutzart. You're not supposed to do that. Omrulo, what do you mean? Valo Akiva ben Yosef, Akiva did it. Rekiva did it. Amalo Hanach Rekiva Shalom Hiniach Kemoso Eretz Yisrael. Rekiva was the Gal Ador, and there was nobody on his level on his par in Eretz Yisrael. That's why he was allowed to do it. So Amalehem says Afane. When I left Eretz Yisrael, also not same thing. So here, famous, he says Amalehem Gedoyim Shinachta Nasu Tioshim. Right, literally the kids, the little goats, the little billy goats you left behind have now grown into fully mature goats. Meaning the Talmidim you left behind have now grown in stature and learning, and they're on par, not a higher par than you, right? The kids that you left behind now grew, okay? And they're the ones who sent us to you, who told you to stop doing it, and so on, okay? Anyway, that's the story, and The reason is why do they want to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael? Because of the pasuk, right? The Gemara ends on Samuel Gimel Beis in 20. Mishum Shenemar Kimitzion Teitzesor Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, right? Kimitzion Teitzesor. That the Torah meaning Horah is supposed to come from Tzion. Okay, so that's the story of the Gemara. Bottom line is that they didn't disagree with the right that he initially had to be Koveh Chodesh and Chutzlars, but now that's only when they're Taka no Talmidei Chacham and Eretz Yisrael on his level. Now that there were so. Rabbi Kiva was different. You look in the Rashi, Elokim and Yosef. I didn't quote it, but it's a Gemara in Yevamos Kuf Chav Beis Min Aleph. Rabbi Kiva says, "Kishirati la'ador la'ber shonim." I went to be ma'ber the shana in Nahar Do, which is in Babel. It's in Babel. Okay, so you have such Gemaras. Rabbi Kiva did it in this Gemara also. So apparently, under certain circumstances, it was mutter for the galador to be ma'ber the chadashim and so on in Eretz Yisrael to be kovei chodet. I'm sorry, in Chotzot in Babel. And the only problem with this Hananya was that there now were more Talmidei Chachamim or some Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. That is the that's the Gemara. Interestingly enough, the pasuk, of course, the famous pasuk Yeshaya Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel 23. Right, we know the pasuk. We know the second half of the pasuk. Kimitzion Teitzei Sarav Rosh Hashanah. The second half of the pasuk. What's interesting is there is another pasuk. The side point, the pasuk in Parshas Re'e, okay, Perek Yud Beis Adorim Pasuk Hey 24. You should search out Hashem Shekhinah and go to that place which He has chosen. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Yud Aleph Mem Beis 25, says Tanur Rabbanan Ein Ma'abrin Es Hashana Ela B'Yehuda, only in Eretz Yehuda. Okay, and it was in the Galil. Okay, it would count. But where do you get that from? Why does it say Eretz Yehuda? Because it says Amar Kro L'Shichno Sidush Uvos Hashama. Called Drisha Shatadorish, Ela Bishichno Selmoko, in the place of the Shekhinah, the Shichno Sidus, place of the Shekhinah, means Yushalayim Eretz Yehuda. So Tosas and others are bothered. What one with Gemara in Brochas quotes the Pasuk Kimitzion Taitse Sarad Rasham Yushalayim, which is a Pasuk in Navi, it's in Yeshaya, Merk Base Pasuk Gimel 23. The Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes a Pasuk in Chumash, which, seems to be a stronger idea. Okay, so anyway, you have the Psukim, so Tosas in Sanhedrin. Yud Aleph Mud Bey, Dibamasal, Ein Ma'abrim, 27. Behold, the Bekibe, Iber Shonim, Yerushalayim, while Iber Shonim, Behanat, Ma'ado, I mean, I'm sorry, 27, yeah, Dibamasal, Ein Ma'abrim. Dahar Bekibe, Iber Shonim, Ashonim, Givna Hardo, how did he do that, and so on. So again, there were no people like him in Eretz Yisrael, and then a whole discussion about what exactly he did. Some say he just, just a Hishu Ba'alma, just did the calculation, but really the people in Eretz Yisrael did a whole story, okay? And the Tosis ends, it could be that the Jews in Babel didn't really do it. They just did the calculation, but the actual pronouncement came from Eretz. So anyway, not our issue right now, but I'm pointing out at the end, okay, Ktas Kosha, okay, Kosha Ktas, the Brochas, Nafkon Ksiv, Kimitzion Teitei Torah, V'hocha Maisim L'shichno Sidrishu. Tosis leaves a little bit of question why the Gemara Brochas learned that Yerushalayim, it's done in Yerushalayim because of the Pasuk, Kimitzion Teitei Sarah, and why here it's because of the Pasuk of Shichno Sidrushu. Okay, that's a side issue. Okay, there were also Tosin Yevomas, Kuf Tez Vav Men Aleph, the Yomasa Omer Akiva, similar discussion. Okay, we don't have to read the whole thing again. The Mar Shah mentions the following. He tries to answer that Kasha. Look in 29. Let's give it to 29. The Mar Shah and the Kedusha HaGodos on that Gemara in Brochus, Sama Gimel Beis, Yivam Aschum Yishum Shenemar Kimitzion Teitzei Sor, right? And we know that the Ibra HaChodesh and Ibra HaShana and Kiddush HaChodesh has to be from Yerushalayim because Kimitzion Teitzei Sor. So the Marsha there in Brochus quotes, over Tosos, Parakamas, and Eri Hikshu, the Hossam Eis, Lemikro Achrina, right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin learned it from a different Pasuk, the Shichno Sidushu. So he says, no, one is talking about when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, okay? The Shichno Sidushu. That's when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. Then the Shichno Sidrishu Bizmana Shechina Shore. Okay. The Pasuk in Sanhedrin was talking about when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, when the Shechina is there. So then it's the Shichno Sidrishu. That's why they quote that Pasuk, because that's when the Shechina is there. But what about when the Shechina is not there, right? There's no Beis HaMikdash anymore. So how do you know you're still supposed to do it in Eretz Yisrael? That's because of the Pasuk of Kimitzion Teitzei Sora. So that's how Amar Shah answers the Kasha. He says that the two different Pesukim are talking about two different errors in history. The Shichno Sidrishu is when there's a Beis HaMikdash, and even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, Kimitzion Teitzei Sora. But it seems to me that what do you mean Kimitzion Teitzei Sora? Okay, if that's a din in Torah, in Horah. So it could be like the sort of a shtickle raya to the Chsam Sofer. Okay, to the shtickle raya to the Chsam Sofer. Namely, and that's really what the, it's not my idea really, the Tzlach, over there in Brochus, Gimel Beis, Zumas, Kach Lama, okay, he quotes this Marsha, and one could say the following. when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, it's a din in the Shechina. L'shich no sigershu. So therefore, Kiddush HaChodesh, Ibar HaShana, all these calendaric calculations have to take place in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. That's the only place. And it doesn't matter where, even if there are greater Talmid HaChamim in Bavel or someplace else, it doesn't matter. When the Beis HaMikdash is standing, that's where you go, and that's it. Okay, either big Talmid HaChamim Bavel, it doesn't matter. And Rabbi Kiva and his other Chanin and so on, that was after the Churban. So then he could say the following, because the pasuk that the Marsha says applies to after the korban is not l'shich no sidushu, because no shkina there, but rather kimitzion teitzei Torah. It's a din in Torah. It's a din in Horah. Once it's a din in Horah, not l'shich no sidushu, then you have to go where the primary balei Horah are. And if there are more balei Horah, okay, in Chotzar, then it's taka Torah. Then kimitzion teitzei Torah, right, as long as the Torah is coming from there, it's emanating from there, that's where the makom Horah is. Okay, but implying that if that's not the Makom Horah, because there are bigger Talmid Chachamim elsewhere, then you have to go with elsewhere. That's the idea. Okay. In other words, it's a din kimitzion teitzei sora. Okay. And that may be what, you know, that may be what the Marshal is getting at. And certainly, look in the tzlach over there, he says, the Hatorah, look at the tzlach towards the end. He says, the Arechazina, the Torah lo kavta rak bizman ashkina. Okay. Rak bizman ashkina. Okay. But when the Shekhinah is there, then you have to go to the place of the Shekhinah. I don't care. It's not a function of where the Talmid Chacham are. Okay. Stuff doesn't exactly say what I said, but it's just along similar lines. Okay. So that's the din. So now what emerges is that while the Beis HaMikdash is standing, Taka, Kozman is a Beis HaMikdash. So then, you have to have Kiddush HaChodesh in the Makom HaMikdash. That's it. But if no Beis HaMikdash, then it can be done where there are greater Talmid Chachamim. And that's some sofer says. And that's why it's Meduyak in Rashi. Rashi says when there's a Lechem upon him, when it's a Mikdash, then you never had 2 days of any other Yontif other than Rosh Hashanah because, well, the Kiddush HaChodesh took place over there. But when in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. But after the Churban, theoretically it'd be possible to have 2 days of Yontif besides Rosh Hashanah. So there's any Yontif even in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam writes in Hichos Kiddush HaChodesh, Perek Aleph Halacha Ches 31, Ein mechashvin kovin chadoshim rabbi shalom el beretz Yisrael shenemar kimitzion teitzei sora rabbi shalom. Right, but he writes him hoya adam gorav chokma. The nisi had a great chokma. His nisi had a smicha, the real smicha of beretz Yisrael. Viyotzol chutzos velo hineach beretz Yisrael kamoso, and no one like him less left than Yisrael. Then arayzim mechashvin kovin chadoshim rabbi shalom mechutzlaritz as well. That's what it says, and so on. Okay, so that the Rambam brings that. All right, same thing. That there he quotes the pasuk kimitzion teitzei sora. But if you look in Kiddush HaChodesh, Perek Dalal of Yudbeis, okay, look at the Rambam writes, Hoya Roshay Bezen Agorav Hua Nikronosi and so on, B'derech HaChoka, okay, he says, I'm sorry, second half, one more interesting, Ein Ma'abrin Sashon Al-Bretz Yehuda, Shashkina B'socha, Shnema L'Sichna Sidrishu. Okay, so it's the same idea. Why the two different Pesukim in the Rambam also, Perek Aleph, Perek Dalal? So it could be like we said, in Perek Aleph, he's going after the Churban, okay? He's speaking about doing it in Chutzlaritz. Okay, then you have the pasuk kimitzion teitzei sora. But in Perek Dalal, he's talking about before the korban, then it must be in Eretz Yisrael, in the place of the Shekhinah, even if the bigger Talmud Chachamim are outside. Okay, and it could even be that the Ramban hints at this. The Ramban in his Asogas to the Sefer HaMitzvos, of the Rambam Mitzvos essay Kuf Nun Gimel, look at 33. The Ramban writes here royally. It seems to me Shabizman Shabbeis Hamikdash Kayam. As long as the Beis HaMikdash is standing, and that's where the Bezen HaGadol was, he quotes a different pasuk, right? Losasar and so on. Then lo haya rishus l'shum adam. I don't care if you're the bigger Talmid Chacham. Then nobody can do Ibar HaChodesh, Kiddush HaChodesh outside. Okay. One other gemara to look at, and then we'll tie this all back to our original question, and then back to Chamisha B'Tevis. Okay. The gemara in Erchin Ches Amud Beis. Okay. It talks here about certain things which. It's no more than that. It mentions Tei Alechem. Sorry, mentions Tei Alechem. Other things, but mentions Lechem upon him. We talked about it already, right? Lechem upon him. Ein Nechol Pachos Mites Loyesa Al Achadasa, like we said. And then it says Ein Kotan Nimol Pachos Mites Loyesa Al Shnei Masar. A kid barring illness will never have a bris less than 8 days and never more than 12 days. That's in Erekin. So what's the idea? So Rashi tells us really the Gemara explains. Okay, but look in the last Rashi Kotan Nimol Shnei Masar. Ketzer, Nolad, Bein HaShmosho, so Erev Shabbos, okay? If he's born, Bein HaShmosho, Erev Shabbos. So you can't do the bris on Shabbos because maybe Shabbos is the ninth day. Bein HaShmosho is Sufik. So maybe it's Friday. So you only do bris on Shabbos if it's Bismana. Okay, but we're not sure if it's Bismana because he was born Bein HaShmosho, it's Friday going to Shabbos. So really Shabbos, really next Friday is supposed to be the bris, but that may only be day seven, so you can't do it then, okay? But I can't do it on Shabbos because that may be the ninth and it's not a meal of Bismana, so I have to do it the next day and so on. Anyway, and then he says if you had So Rosh Hashanah, Rashi says, what if after Shabbos is Yontif, there's another day, and after Shabbos is 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, you end up having the bris on the 12th day. Okay, you end up having the bris on the 12th day. Okay, if it is the 12th day, that's the scenario. And the Mishnah in Shabbos, the parakel is the Mila Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Katan Nimo," which again, barring illness, "Lishmona Latisha Lasola Charas Ol Shnei Moser Lo Pachas Lo Yoser Haketzad Kedarko." Ordinarily Shmona. No little Ben Ashmoshes Nimo Latisha. I remember when I was in Wahyu, there was a guy who had a baby. Okay, he had twins actually. Friday evening. Okay, Friday. The first baby was born Ben Ashmoshes Friday into Shabbos. The second baby was a couple minutes later. It was already Vaday Shabbos. Okay. So he had twin boys, but had to have bris on two different days. Because the second baby came out, it was already Vaday Shabbos. So now he was taka for sure, the eighth day was Shabbos, they had the bris on the eighth day. The first baby was born in Shmoshes, may not have been, so had to wait till Sunday. So the first baby had the bris before the first baby. Anyway, this is all brought down in the Rambam, Hilchos Mila, Perek Aleph, Halacha Tes. He gives you the whole cheshbon. Now, here's the interesting thing. Rashi quotes that when do you have the extra days? If the following week, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were after Shabbos, okay, then you wouldn't do the bris till Tuesday. Okay, Sunday, Monday is Rosh Hashanah. Shabbos is Sunday. We don't have like that, but Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, we Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so then you're not going to do the bris till Tuesday. The kid may have been born on Friday, Ben Hashmashas, right? So it's really, in a certain sense, the 12th day. That's when it comes out. Why did they give the example of Rosh Hashanah? Here we're not talking about Eretz Yisrael. So that's a big question, whether a mila shelo bizmana is doche yontif sheni. That's a big machlokas. The Rambam Hilchos Mila Perek Aleph Halacha Tes. Okay, the Rambam writes Halacha Tes Nyud mila bizmana doche shabbos. The mila on the 8th day, it's doche shabbos. If it's not, it was postponed because the baby was sick or something, and now he's healthy on shabbos. You gotta wait. It's not doche shabbos. Not doche yontif either. Okay, not doche yontif either. Okay, but the Rambam writes Halacha Tes Vav. Look at the second line of 38. But the doche yontif sheni. It is Doche Yontif Sheni. You can do a bris on Yontif Sheni, okay? But not the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Second day of Rosh Hashanah is not Doche, Rosh Hashanah different, Yom HaRichta, whatever the reason, okay? But according to the Rambam, a bris, even a Mila Bizmana, is not Doche Yontif Sheni. The Rosh in the Tshuva, okay? The Rosh in the Tshuva says in the Kal Chavav Simen Hey, okay? I'm sorry, I said, the Rambam says, it is Doche Yontif, excuse me. The Rambam says, the Doche is Yontif Sheni. I'm sorry, bris, I don't know if I said it right. A bris is doche yontif sheni. A mila bizmana is doche yontif sheni. It's not doche Shabbos. I'm sorry. Homi she'en doche Shabbos, en doche yontif rishon, but the doche yontif, I said it right. It's doche yontif sheni. Okay? A mila bizmana is doche Shabbos, certainly doche yontif, certainly doche yontif sheni. But a mila shelo bizmana is not doche Shabbos, is not doche yontif rishon, but the Rambam holds it is doche yontif sheni. I've got that straight. I don't know if I said it right the first time. So Mila Shelo Bizmana is Doche Yontif Sheni. The Rosh, however, disagrees. The Rosh in the Tshuva, Kal Chavav Simen Hay, writes in 39, Mila Shelo Bizmana ain't a Doche Yontif Sheni Shel Goyus. Okay? Not just Rosh Hashanah, but not just second day of Rosh Hashanah. It's not Doche. It's not Doche Yontif Sheni Shel Goyus either, any other Yontif. That's the Rosh. The Machok is the Ram and the Rosh. Again, a Kesef Mishnah there in Perek Aleph Halacha Tes Vav 40 explains it. Okay, he explains it to Machoka. It's been the Ram and the Rosh. Okay, whether the Rosh and Tshuva, right? Dasha Rosh, but Tshuva, Cholaka Rabbeinu. Okay, the cost of the Mila Shalom Bizmana ain't a Doche for the Yontif Sheni Shel Goyus. So the Rambam is of the opinion that a Mila Shalom Bizmana is Doche. And you could argue because Mila is a Deraisa, Yontif Sheni Shel Rabbana, whatever the Svaras will be. But according to the Rambam, Mila Shalom Bizmana is Doche Yontif Sheni. And the Rosh says Mila Shalom Bizmana is not Doche Yontif Sheni. In the Shulchan Aruch, we find the following Hilchos Mila Yordeis and Reish Samavav Sif Ches. Okay, he paskins that it's not Doche Yontif and not even Yontif Sheni Shel Goyus. Okay, not even Yontif Sheni Shel Goyus, like the Rosh says. Right? That's how he paskin in the Shulchan Aruch. On the other hand, the Shach in Sivkot Neches, right? Rufin is Daiti Iker Ka Rambam. The Doche Yontif Sheni Shel Goyus. Machlokes. Okay, the Shach said no. The Rambam is right. It is Doche Yontif Sheni. Anyway, there's a whole discussion. Okay, bottom line. According to the Rambam, it's Doche Yontif Sheni. So why did the Gemara then only mention Rosh Hashanah? Because you could answer very simple. The Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, you never had Yontif Sheni any other time. Okay? You never had any other Yontif. So why did the Rosh, that's what the Rosh will say. Okay? There's a lot of Dafka. And the Rambam holds, look, it says in the Gemara, it's docha. He said it's not docha yontav shein shor Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Gemara in Erkin said. It's not docha the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, the implication, it is docha and the other yontav sheni, which is the Rambam's position. The Milah Shel Bezmana is docha yontav sheni, just not Rosh Hashanah. And that's what the Gemara said. Rosh do? The Rosh said no. The Gemara didn't speak about any other yontav sheni because it was the Mishnah didn't speak about any yontav sheni. The Mishnah is written in Eretz Yisrael. They never had it. Right? I mean, if you look back again, the Mishnah is in Erchon. I don't know where the source was. But why did the Mishnah only mention Rosh Hashanah? Why did the Mishnah mention Rosh Hashanah as the example? Because the Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael. They never had it. Okay? That's all. They didn't have any other Yontav Sheni other than Rosh Hashanah. But of course, it's the same din. It's not Docha any other Yontav Sheni either. Why did the Rambam learn that way? It could be like we're saying over here. Because the Rambam, hello, the Rambam holds, no, in Eretz Yisrael, you could have it. The fact that the Mishnah didn't mention it, don't tell me, no, it couldn't happen. No, according to what we said today, it could happen. Namely, if there were Mekadosh HaKadosh and Chutzpah, so it could happen. And the mere fact that the Gemara didn't mention that possibility shows that Take, the Rambam says that it's only Rosh Hashanah, that Milah Shel Bezmana is not Docha, but it is Docha, something else. And the Rambam would say, it could happen in Eretz Yisrael too. Okay, so that's why. That's to specify only Rosh Hashanah, it's not Tocha, but the other Yom Tov it is. So it also explain this Machlokas in the Rambam and we can explain the Shitsa Rambam according to this thought. Now let's pull all this together. What is in the world does this have to do with what we talked about? We started asking the question, what happened on the 5th of Teves? Right? That's what we started with after all this stuff. So what does it have to do with anything? So let's tie it all together. We asked the Kasha, what is Reb Shimon in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, source 2, hold that the fast was Nikbala Doris on the 5th of Tevis. Yes, it's true. It's on the 5th of Tevis. The Pasuk Yechezkel says that that's when the Jews in Babel found out that the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed. But we asked Akasha, okay, so that's why they mourned that year. Why be Kovela Doris that the fish were on the 5th of Tevis? The answer is, according to what we said here, the following is what my Rabbi Shulman suggested. Very simple, he said. Because now, as I said before, who was taken into Babel? Yechezkel and all the Talmid Chachamim were all in Babel, right? So the bigger Talmid Chachamim were Taka in Babel and not in Eretz Yisrael. But they weren't Mekadosh HaKodesh there because the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. And we said, Kolzman, the Beis HaMikdash is still standing. Then it was the job of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, even if the bigger Talmid Chachamim were in Chutz Laretz, but still, when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, everything followed the Beis HaMikdash. So Shichno Sidrishu. It doesn't matter Kimitzon Teitei Sor. It's not a matter of Hora. It's a matter of Shikno Sidrashu. So Mamele Yechezkel, he was a Navi. There were look, Yirmiyahu was in Eretz Yisrael. It's true that overall the bigger Talmid Chacham were in Chutz Laretz. But it's the job of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, the people in Yerushalayim, to do it. Kolzman, the Beis HaMikdash was standing. But now that they got the word on the 5th of Teves that the Beis HaMikdash Taka was destroyed, so now Kiddush HaChodesh was shifted to Bavel. Because the bigger Moreh Haro were in Bavel. What does that mean? So Rabbi Shulman suggested, Rabbi Shimon held, that was the final blow to the status of Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. That's why it was Nikba L'Doros at the fast day on the 5th of Teves. Because that was the end of the primacy of Yerushalayim. Because now there's not even the Kiddush HaChodesh is not even there anymore. And that's why your Koveya fast on the 5th of Teves. Now you look at the Pirkei Avos, re-emphasize the point of what we can do it in who did it in Eretz Yisrael. Even Hadjotim in Eretz Yisrael could do it. Okay? You look on the second line there, 44. As long as the Beis HaMikdash is standing. So now we understand the sheet of Reb Shimon very well. Reb Shimon said, you look at the progression. Shavosa B'Tamuz, the city's walls were breached. Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Yes, but there was at least still some political leadership in Eretz Yisrael under some Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael. Gedalia ben Achikam was the governor, whatever exactly his title was. He still had some Jewish control in Eretz Yisrael, even though there was no Beis HaMikdash. Then Gedalia was assassinated in Gimel Tishrei, so that was the end of any Jewish political sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael. But it still had primacy in terms of, that's where Mekadosh HaKodesh, okay, until when, or at least so people thought, until when? Until the 5th of Teves, when the Jews of Babel found out the city had fallen. Now, that was the official end. Now the Kiddush HaChodesh took place, at least until the Bayis Sheni and so on. The Kiddush HaChodesh took place in Chutz Laretz. That ended the primacy of Yerushalayim. That's why there's a fast on Chamisha B'Teves, according to Reb Shimon. That was, a very, very brilliant suggestion, putting all these things together. Beautiful, beautiful idea. that, okay, we don't pasken like Reb Shimon. We're not fasting tomorrow. Okay. We pasken like Reb Akiva. The fast of us, of the Tzom HaAsiri, is Taka Asar B'Teves next Friday. But at least now we understand this Shita in the Gemara that Reb Shimon was Tam. It wasn't just that the people someone put on the chat, but again, that's when they heard about it. But in reality, they got the authority from Tishrei Enochanami, but they didn't know they had the authority. That was the official public end, because now they were talking going to be Kovei the Chodesh in Chutzart. So that was the beginning, the following month, whatever it is. That's when it started, right? So that was like the official end of the primacy of Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. It had, you're right, Taka had ended on Tishrei B'Av, but they didn't know about it, so they weren't doing it. And now they were going to start doing it, because now they realize Eretz Yisrael no longer has that primacy. Then that explains the fast on the 5th of Tevis. Anyway, Lamaisa, we don't pasken that way. Maybe that's why. We don't pasken like Rabbi Kiva. We'll fast on Friday, Asar B'Tevis, not tomorrow. But at least we understand that Shita. Wish everybody a good tovach, and people should have a meaningful fast this coming Friday. A good tovach.
All this.